the Free for All Roundtable.
Round two.
On round two, Patrick Brown is here, mayor of Brampton. Mitzi Hunter ran for mayor. She's also the former MPP for Scarborough. Jason Agnew, a News Talk 1010 personality. You hear him most frequently on Sunday mornings with the trivia show. Nice to have you all. And let's actually start with something at Queen's Park. And I've sort of had it with this battle. The problem is the speaker picked it, and now he can't undo it. And we got Sarah Jama picking a fight with the speaker.
Sarah Jama, you are named. You must leave the chamber. As a result of being named, the member for the remainder of the day is ineligible to vote on matters before the assembly, attend and participate in any committee proceeding.
It's almost like a game show. You have been named. You must leave the chamber. She declined to leave the chamber. And then, you know, somebody went over and spoke to her and said, you got to get out. And she said, I'm not leaving. And so the speaker decided, well, I'm not going to physically remove her from the chamber. She is in a wheelchair, which would have made things even more of a struggle. So, Patrick Brown, you have served in that chamber. How often do people get named?
Very rarely. And, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, we don't see this happening in the House of Commons. We don't see this happening in city halls. Whatever you think of MPP Jama, the reality is she was elected by her constituents to be there. And so if she's removed, their voice is removed. And so, you know, I'm surprised that this debate has blown up to what it is. So an article of ancestry or heritage or frankly, faith, people can be very attached to, and obviously this MPP has a heritage that she is proud of. And so I'm very uncomfortable with the notion that Queen's Park can dictate what you wear. And so I think the Premier did the right thing. I think the opposition leaders did the right thing by saying that that should be rescinded.
Okay, Jason Agnew, your thoughts, because of course this is about the keffiyeh, which is an Arab headscarf sometimes, or just worn as a scarf. And the reason she was asked to leave was she was wearing it yesterday in the House.
Yeah, John, you know, what's kind of interesting here is I cover Halton. So Ted Arnett is an MPP in Halton as well as the speaker. And to start the year, I brought up the recent troubles with Greg Ferguson and Anthony Rota in the House of Commons. And he said his goal is just keep it low key and fair. And, you know, at this year, he's definitely not keeping it low key. Now, on the last roundtable, the term K-fob was used in regards to this. It's actually K-fabe. It's a wrestling term.
Okay.
And the problem with wrestlers that wear the keffiyeh, they would be like the Iron Sheik or Muhammad Hassan or Sergeant Slaughter, which is an anti-American hero, because he was a sympathizer to the Iraqis in the Gulf War, and then he was defeated by Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 7. All I'm saying is they're all known as bad guys and heels, and, you know, wrestling is a microcosm of society, so by Sarah Jama raising this ruckus over the keffiyeh in the media, she's kind of portraying herself as the heel here.
Okay, and let me get that word again, kayfabe.
Kayfabe.
Okay, and that is sort of...
It's playing your character out in the media beyond just the ring, when you'll do the same character to interviewers, and it's basically your performance character, and that's what Jama's was referred to as, her behavior was being referred to as on your first roundtable this morning.
Okay, I gotta add that to my quiver. Mitzi Hunter, your thoughts on all of this, because none of this would have happened if the speaker had not banned keffiyehs, and I understand why he did, but we're just creating a ruckus over something, and I'd rather we get back to trying to balance the budget.
Yeah, and I actually think that she should be allowed to wear her scarf, whatever scarf she wants to wear. I have to say, in my almost 10 years sitting in the legislature, I've been able to wear whatever I want to wear. Sometimes during Black History Month, I would put on a purple scarf I received in South Africa because it was, you know, a symbol of that heritage, and I wanted to show it off. I wore the Ukrainian colors quietly, you know, offering strength and support to those peoples. And so, you know, this should never have gotten as far as it is. I agree with Mayor Brown that Sarah Jama was elected to be a voice for her constituents. And in naming her and taking away her right to speak, to vote, it's really diminishing all of her constituents. And it's gotten way too far. She should be able to wear whatever she wants to wear. We're empowering this issue by using these heavy-handed approaches to demand that she takes off her scarf.
Was Sarah Jama elected or were the NDP elected?
Yeah, but
I think Sarah Jama, yeah, she was the one on the ballot, and that's how it works in democracy.
This is a very much related file, and it's a Jewish student at Toronto Metropolitan University who's filed, I think it's a $1.3 million lawsuit over, quote, a toxic anti-Semitic working environment. And Mitzi Hunter, I'll come back to you on this one. I'd like to see the original statement of claim, and I will look at it as soon as I have a chance, because I think there probably is a lot of anti-Semitism on campuses right now, but there's also been an effort to try and turn any protest or in sympathy with the Palestinian people or saying that Israel has gone too far to turn that into something that is definitively anti-Semitic when it may not be.
Yeah, and this is a really, really tough issue because it cuts both ways on campuses. You have the universities that are really struggling with their principles of freedom of speech, freedom of expression for students. And right now, the students don't agree. There are two sides to this issue. And we've got to lean way in on this to make sure that both sides feel safe, both sides feel heard, and that they belong on campuses. At no time should our Jewish students feel that they are threatened in any way. And so this is real, and the universities have to make sure that they do whatever they can to make sure that they keep the peace on both sides.
Well, and Jason, this is really roiling campuses all over the place, especially in the states where they now have encampments. University of Southern California has actually canceled its graduation ceremony.
Yeah, John, I'm just worried that the TMU is in the headlines for some bad press here. Are they going to try to change their name again? Uh-oh. But $1.3 million here is what struck me. It's like, how do you put a monetary value on a lawsuit like this?
Yeah, I don't know. Perhaps they feel that they're being flushed out, so they believe that's the value of their education. I don't know. Patrick Brown, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't suspect they have a high prospect of success in their legal case, especially with that arbitrary number that seems very high. But it's probably a message to say that they expect Jewish students to have safe places in academic institutions. And I'm sure there's examples, legitimate examples, where Jewish students don't feel safe. You know, what I'm noticing right now is I've never seen anti-Semitism as high, but I've never seen Islamophobia as high. But the polarization in our communities is, frankly, horrifying. You know, I would say for the first point that you made, legitimate criticism, the war effort in Israel, it is not anti-Semitic. And I think this line gets blurred because even in Israel, you see protest and disagreement on the war effort. And so I think we do need to do a better job of separating what is hate speech and what is legitimate debate.
Okay, we don't need to dwell on this next topic a lot because it only affects Toronto. But actually, I'll start with Patrick Brown. How are your trash bins in Brampton? Toronto unveiled some new ones yesterday. They'll have sensors in them to let the city know when they're full.
Yeah, we have sensors in our trash bins as well, and we've added one pickup. You know, I wish people would, you know, have diversion efforts of their own. I wish people wouldn't contribute to the garbage as much as they do, but it's the reality, and we don't want to see, the bins that are overflowing with garbage. And so it's our reality, but I do encourage people to take more responsibility to diminish the amount of garbage that they're contributing.
Jason Agnew, should be noted, these bins, the previous ones that people are unhappy with, designed, created, and installed by the Astral company, which is owned by Bell. And the collection of the garbage itself is still the city's responsibility.
Yeah, no doubt. The bins to me kind of look the same. I mean, they can have sensors on them. That's fine. It's a matter of will they be picked up and emptied at the time. The thing is, we need the bins because when it comes right down to it, if the bins aren't there, people will just litter. And we've actually seen that at Tim Hortons. I don't know why, but they've removed a lot of the garbages at their drive-thrus. And now you just see paper cups thrown off to the side before people get to the window because there used to be a garbage there. And that would be what would happen if we didn't have these.
So, well, and Mitzi Hunter, I mean, worth noting, for example, in London, England, they don't have public trash receptacles because people used to bomb them.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a very different issue.
Yeah.
We want, Toronto to be the beautiful and we need the bins. And this company has had a 17-year contract. And they're only now getting around to go back to basics to simplify the collection. I just think that the city has to do its job of holding the contractors accountable for the delivery. And, you know, this is about value for money. And we have not been getting value for money for these trash bins that are always overflowing and the flaps that blow in the wind and block the sidewalks. It's just really a horrible design. And I hope that this time they get it right, you know, coming up to the 20-year mark of their contract.
Canadian Civil Libertarians Association is calling for the Chief of Police of Toronto to be more definitive in his apology and retraction of remarks he made after the Zamir verdict. Jason, I'm pretty big on civil liberties, but I also think they're being fetishists here. I've heard what I need to hear from the chief.
Yep, I'm good. Well, once again, this is, to me, another one of your let it go type of issues. It's time to put it aside here. Let's keep singing Frozen.
Okay. Mitzi Hunter, your thoughts?
I mean, Chief Demke rushed in support, as we know, of, you know, a grieving force and the tragic loss of Constable Jeffrey Northrop. You know, he has to now reinforce his belief in the rule of law and in the justice system. That is really foundational to his leadership and his legitimate leadership as the chief in Toronto. So if the Canadian Civil Liberties gets him to restate that, I think that's good for the justice system and fairness.
Does he have to clean up the record, Patrick Brown? I mean, he did say he supports the verdict and he regrets the remarks.
Yeah, I think his you know, statement was definitive. You know, what I would say is, and I'm probably not objective on this, you know, Jeffrey Northrop was from Brampton. His family was beloved, and he ran our local lacrosse and Special Olympics and Boy Scout programs. And so our community is still grieving on this. What you know, I know people are saying it's time to move on, but, you know, I still would like to understand how the Crown messed this up so much. In the sense that they had the opportunity to proceed with a lesser charge. And I know it's automatic to, when a police officer is murdered, that it's first degree, but they have the option. And it would have been a different outcome if they had chosen the appropriate charge to go with. And so there's been no accountability in terms of how the Crown treated this case. And for a lot of people in Brampton, I know, you know, that question still looms.
And not a lot of time on the clock, but Jason Agnew, I'll come at you on this one. In Montreal, they tend to be quite exorcised about the fact that if you walk into an establishment, the clerk will usually say, bonjour, hi. And the mayor wants to get rid of the hi and just say bonjour. Are you sympathetic?
No, I don't like that at all. I love going to Montreal and having that said to me, then I say hello back and they immediately pivot and know that this is an English customer. Okay, I'll respond to them in English. It's a very easy way of making that distinction.
Thank you all. Good to have you this morning. Hope you have an amazing weekend. That's Mitzi Hunter, Patrick Brown, and Jason Agnew. Jason will be back Sunday morning with the Trivia Show.
Catch the Roundtable, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.